Do you ever read about yourself in the paper? Or perhaps in a school newsletter or some other bulletin? Hearing Matthew's story brings back some cherished memories. A truly life-changing experience. Have a look at the first line of Matthew's report. He says this, "As Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem." That was us. And this Bible version understates how sensational that moment was. If you picked up a different one, it might say, "Behold, wise men from the east." There was something shocking to those first readers that we were there. But we were. We'd come all the way from southern Arabia because we saw a star in its rising. And I guess our gifts give us away. Wealthy people everywhere have gold, but frankincense and myrrh are only harvested from trees that grow in our specific region of southern Arabia. So why were we, wealthy dwellers of distant desert lands, there? Well, for the same reason that lots of you might have been interested. If you hear of a special baby being born, like you hear of one being born in your family, you want to go and visit them. When his star appeared and we figured out what it meant, it seemed obvious to me and my friends to go and visit. Not just to look, but to worship. And that might be the key thing to know from my story. Worship is a fitting response to Jesus, the one born King. But before we get to that, let me take you back to the beginning of my story. I often get called wise, but it's not because I'm exceptionally smart. I belong to a specific group of people called the Magi. We specialize in magic and astrology. I'm particularly interested in the signs in the heavens. Stars and comets give us special insight and information. So when a unique one rose, we studied it carefully. Now, you should know, it's not our usual habit of going chasing newborn kings to give away our gold. We're stargazers, we're not king chasers. Yet this was such a special heavenly sign. It told us that this newborn king had been born. He wasn't our king. We're foreigners. We have foreign kings. He was Jewish. Yet the rising of his star compelled us to go. It does tell you something about the God of the Jews. He is not this small, local God with limited impact. It kind of still stirs me as I come to think of it again. The distant God that I had never thought of or heard of knew me. Heavenly signs get our attention. So he used them to communicate with us, to invite us to see his King, to have the special privilege of worship. And from what I've been told, this baby had an interesting guest list. When a God that universal personally enters into your world, how could I not respond? When he called me to his King, great travel distances were not enough to prevent me from going. Nothing in my life was more compelling, more worthwhile. And upon reflection, even with the challenges of that journey, it was worth it. So we packed up our gifts, said goodbye to our loved ones, and began to head off through hundreds of kilometres worth of desert with our entourage. Now, arriving in Jerusalem, we got noticed. Not because of our special clothing, but I'm pretty sure it's because of the questions that we were asking. Matthew records them pretty accurately. He says, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw its star and it rose, and we have come to worship him. Now, looking back, I'm not sure how we didn't notice this, but hindsight's it's a wonderful thing, isn't it? But Matthew is right when he speaks about Herod. He says, King Herod heard this and was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. I suppose it should have clicked. We didn't say there was one born who will one day be king. We had seen his star. Our interpretation was that he was already the king. And history has proven us correct. I can imagine how that conversation went after we'd left Herod, silently brooding for a bit and then utterly exploding. How can the words king and Jews be used without reference to me? And how ridiculous is it that a king, like a baby king, had been born and no one in the capital of Judah knew about it? I'll be honest, that last one's got me a bit stumped too, especially since their religious experts knew exactly where it was all to take place. Those scribes had far better information than we do. When Herod questioned them, they quoted from their ancient scriptures beautifully, immediately confirming that Bethlehem was the place for their long-awaited king to be born. They had the right answers. It's ironic, really. They'd scoff at the idea of history calling us wise men. We are foreigners with different gods. We're experts in astrology, magic, divination, all of which are blatant violations of their religious law. Yet there we were, uncouth men in their eyes. But sensationally, behold, we had come to see their king. They expected him. Their great hope was a deliverer. Our presence and reports were consistent with the prophecies they were reading, but they did nothing. Our limited information caused us to travel hundreds of kilometres through the desert in anticipation. All of their knowledge, and they weren't willing to travel 10 kilometres to find out. It really is an example of the foolish things shaming the wise. Imagine claiming to have this God and his king as the most important thing in your life and then being totally unmoved by him. It'd be like a librarian not liking books, or a fisherman not interested in the spot where all the fish are being caught, or a musician not wanting to hear the greatest artist of their generation. They didn't go. Imagine that. Their spoken hopes turn into just mere words. What makes someone wise? Who was foolish? Even if their reluctance is because they were scared of Herod, they could have grabbed us in private. Herod found us. Why couldn't they? They knew precisely where their king, the king of the Jews, was to be born. And yet it's distant foreigners like us that worshipped him first. Knowledge about God, it's not the same as worship. Having the right answers, it's not the same as living faith. Even with our limited information, the Supreme God led us on our journey. After our secret meeting with Herod, we set off again towards Bethlehem. And didn't we just burst with joy when the sign appeared again in a different part of the sky? We were deliriously happy. The magnificent God of the universe used his mastery over all of creation to confirm personally to us that we were on the right track. Despite the indifference of the wise people, He was wooing us, me, to see this baby, to come to his king. If he wooed us, there can be no limit to those who God will reach out and grab. He is not a God to write people off. He is one to draw people to his king. That was his goal when he announced it to the prophet hundreds of years before us. That was his goal when that heavenly sign appeared over Bethlehem. It remains his goal throughout all of history. His ability to manipulate the stars is proof that his purposes will be fulfilled. When we arrived in town, that simple house was obvious. The God who can manipulate the heavens made it clear. Have a look at this picture of a comet from nearby Victoria 15 years ago. He didn't leave us to find him. He started us seeking. He guided us the whole way. He marked the spot. This is how Matthew describes our arrival. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We weren't the wisest people. All those stayed back in Jerusalem. We didn't understand everything. We did what we knew to do. When a man meets a king, he brings gifts. You bow in honor and homage. And we gave the best gifts that we could find. They were costly, but they were the natural gifts for us to give. Gold and perfume from the royal court where we lived. We came with riches. We left poorer and yet much richer. If you know who this baby Jesus is, you worship him. I believe one of his own ancestors said, "I will not offer to the Lord that which has cost me nothing." The things we bought cost us. They cost us ourselves in our time and the sacrifices on that journey. They cost our treasures and expensive resources. But meeting a king, that was the most natural and even joyful thing for us to do. And strangely, our riches changed. No longer were they evaluated by the time I could use for me. No longer were they measured by our gold or our myrrh. Rather, the measure was the king. If our gifts of worship reflected his value, even while still a baby, the king had become the most valuable thing to us. That royal family had nothing to give back, just himself. In that moment, in his presence, forever since, Jesus himself has been more than enough. If you know the King, if your value is in him, that is true contentment. What could gold or myrrh be compared to relationship with him? What could I possibly gain that would be of more value than him? I left poorer, but much richer. If our journey wasn't remarkable enough, one of my friends had a dream, and looking back, it all becomes pretty clear. Herod was a vicious, insecure tyrant. And it was not just for me personally that God invited us by his star to see his king. Our gifts undoubtedly helped his family flee to Egypt in the night, preserving his physical life for everything that he was yet to do. There's a lot more to his story. I'm only involved until halfway through chapter 2. The whole story is worth reading, especially the plot twist as he gets to Jerusalem at the end. He's not just the king for the Jews. Through the star, the God of the universe made him my king, and he has been so ever since. Worship is a fitting response to Jesus, the one born king. Understanding that is the only thing that makes me wise. There is nothing of greater worth than him. I thank God for the opportunity to see and know my Saviour, for the joy of worship. He seeks you too. Let me encourage you. Take the opportunity to see the Saviour. Find the King. Worship him. You'll leave poorer, but be richer forever. Amen. Let me pray for you guys. Father, great God of the universe, the God who controls the stars, the God who sent your Son, born King of the Jews, but of the whole world forever. Father, we thank you for the wonderful hope there is in the way that you draw people to yourself, drawing distant magi from foreign lands, drawing people in all sorts of different ways. We thank you that you know us, that you call us. For those of you, those that are here today, those you are calling to yourself, Father, I pray that they listen. I pray that they wouldn't consider themselves wise, but would be willing to come. For those who know this story well, who are familiar with all its parts and yet remain unmoved, help them to see the value in what you offer in your King. Don't let them walk away unchanged. Father, we pray that you would lead us to come to you and leave poorer, having given ourselves, but so much richer, having known you and come into relationship with you. We ask that you do that for us this Christmas and for the rest of our days as we live here in your world. Amen.